Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dubin, your host, coming your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page link. And we have a lot of interesting things on the website for you. In addition to the archives and links to our guests' websites, we also have other information from Beth McDonald, our AAA editor. She'll be coming your way later on in the program, and we encourage you to tune in every Saturday. Go to our archives page, listen to the interviews, and see what our guests have to say. It's an interesting day and interesting week for many of us, and we're going to get a heads up on that from Beth McDonald later in the program. But from my observations, it's been fascinating. I don't know about you, but as we head towards, as we have gone through the equinox, the autumnal equinox, I love saying that, autumnal, the transition where the first day of autumn has the equal parts of daylight and darkness, a balancing, if you will, at that particular point. Happens twice a year, the vernal equinox for spring, and then, of course, what we've experienced this week as we're talking here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I began to take a look at observations that I have been making in my life and trying to be more observant rather than reactive. Not an easy chore, if you will. It continues to bolster my perspective that maybe we're not indigenous to this planet from the standpoint that all of the other creatures that are on this planet seem to be coping pretty well. They go through their lives and they live their lives and things happen and they just move along. But we get stuck. I've been hearing comments, and again, as we rarely do talk about current events, but this is an example of what we'll talk about with our guest coming up. And that is that it has been said in these financial times that there is money there. The dollars and cents or whatever currency that you want to use, it's there. There's more than enough. But it's the people that have the abundance of it that are not letting it go because they're afraid. There's fear there. There's uncertainty, which I suppose I can understand at one level. And I keep hearing, too, that if only the consumers would start spending the money and not hold on to it. And I'm sitting here going, I'm not holding on to any. Like many, I am living from paycheck to paycheck, maybe slightly above that, but not by much. So I'm wondering who they're talking to, because they're not talking to me. And I'm wondering if we don't have to wake up. We don't have to open our eyes. I mean, our real eyes, our spiritual eyes, if you will. And this is where we're going to bring our guest in, Michael Robbins, who has written a book called Awakening. And Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your insights into it almost sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie, Awakening, you know, but it's it's more than that. And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. I'm sure we'll have an illuminating and good time connecting with one another and sharing ideas.
I hope so, too. Now, you have this book, Awakening, 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. And we're going to talk, I like to start the program off by defining terms, but we're going to go in reverse and have you define what you see power, freedom, and love are. So let's start. What is power in this context?
Both freedom to do what you want and love to do, and also the ability to do that, the ability to have the freedom to do what you want and love to do.
So they're not interchangeable, but they are connected like a triangle, the corners of a triangle.
Yes, and they all flow into one another. In a sense, they are, if you have love and freedom, and true love and freedom, I mean, not the kind of love that's the human love, but the divine love and the self-identity that comes with awareness, then they all flow and they're all one, although they're different aspects of one truth or one identity.
You seem to also come from the point of view that and it's sort of the assertion that I have made about the current systems under which most humans live are, in essence, they're demeaning, that we were created for greater things, but somehow we have forgotten or been disconnected from that awareness, or, to use your vernacular, that awakening.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting phenomenon. They also understand that there is a divine pattern within everyone. I've been recently dipping into gene key awareness, and there actually is a light-encoded truth within the gene keys that is moving towards incredibleness. Every single one is on a magnificent journey to an ever-incredible experience. Now, that certainly doesn't seem like that at this state. As a matter of fact, if you look at the world, it looks like it's going in the other direction. And many people, if I said that to them, would say, what are you talking about? Are you not seeing what's going on? Mm-hmm. So the point, and I might clarify, when I was talking about gene keys, there's a book I just recently read, which is an awesome book by Richard Rudd, called The Gene Keys. It's found on GeneKeys, GeneKeys.net. And the gene keys are divided up into three categories. There's the shadow. There's the genius category, and there's what's called the city category. Now, the shadow category is where most of humanity is, which is opposite of the genius category. However, everything in the shadow category is structured to propel and move people to the genius category. Now, they might not want to come. They might come dragging their feet. But anyway, as long as it takes, they're going to eventually get there, if not in this life, then in another one. But it's divinely arranged for magnificence. Now, there are a number of people who are awakening to the genius category. And they are the pioneers of the new dawn on the planet. This is going to move into the city, which is a Hindi term for power. And there is going to be such an incredible, even transformation of the human body. I mean, look how we've been evolving from amoeba and way back, and then the transformation from, Cro-Magnon man, Neanderthal man, to Homo sapiens, and we're moving into Homo sanctus. So we're moving to something maybe thousands of years down the road you can't even imagine. So that's just wanted to put that in, because things as they appear are not what they really are or what they're going to be. Does that make any sense?
It does. I also understand that, and we'll get further into this as well, I also understand that you are an abundance revealer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talk a little bit about that.
Thank you. Abundance starts with knowing who you are. And that means not knowing who you are just on the third dimensional plane, where you got a name and you got a personality and you got a body and you have experiences. That's actually the very tippiest tip, or the furthest extension, or the greatest contraction of who you really are. So, I mean, and I ask the question to people, do you know what enables you to see, to speak, to feel, to hear, to think, and to move? What is that? And a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people have names for it. They might call it, oh yeah, that's life, or that's God, or that's truth, or that's energy. But I ask them, what is that? Do you know? Because if I said hand, you could look at your hand and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if I say God, energy, truth, what's that? People are going to have a million different belief systems. And I say, I know, it's possible to know that experience as clearly as you know hand. But much of humanity has not awakened and isn't ready yet to take that leap from who they think they are to who they really are. So as an abundance revealer, it all begins with self-knowledge and self-awareness. And I am a revealer, an experiential revealer of what that is within people that enables them to exist, whether you call it consciousness or God or energy or truth. The thing is to have an experience, a knowingness of what that is, where to look for that, and how to experience that. So as a beginning, and there's more to what I do, but that's a beginning. So checking back with you and seeing how you resonate with that.
Well, I know that as we continue talking about these various elements of life and growth and progression and evolution, I mean, that seems to be on the minds of a lot of folks these days, is the whole issue of evolution, the evolutionary process of man in particular. Many of my guests, they talk about the process. And they will say, you know, well, here are the things that you need to do to evolve, to move forward, to advance, or again, using your vernacular, to awaken. And then there are those who I've spoken with who say, we're already there, that we just have to acknowledge the fact that we're there. And that there is no transformation, we're already at the state that we should be in, and so forth. And I struggle with that only because, well, there still requires some form of transition. I mean, I have to make some shift. Mm-hmm. That's an evolutionary. A shift is, no matter how small it is, it's still, you're still evolving.
Well, they're saying the same thing, but part of it is something's missing. Yes, we always are who we are. We always have been. We always will be. But if you're not experiencing it, if you're not knowing it, if you're not, you know, in the awareness of it, then there's a journey to become aware. So, yes, we already are there, but without the experience of that, we are missing an awful lot.
Well, we don't want people to be missing anything if we can help it. We want people to be able to progress and move forward to become what they want to be. And now that's another interesting dynamic too, Michael. And I want to, first of all, before we go any further, let our listeners know that we're talking with Michael Robbins. He has a website. And by the way, I love the fact that you have taken on one of the new, I'm not sure, extensions is, I guess, the right term, michaelrobbins.me for me. Me. Fascinating. I know that they're out there and some people are grasping onto those. I want to ask you, when and how you came to this realization? What was the catalyst?
Good question. For me, it's a story, and stories are fun. I was getting my PhD in literature many moons ago, a long, long time ago, because I'm 70 now, and I'm getting younger, which is great. I had been in college for 10 years, largely on assistantship, so I was teaching at the same time I was studying. And I turned my dissertation in on the function of the night in the Canterbury Tales, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And they said, you're not done. And my heart went, what? I'm done. I walked away from 10 years of hard work with just a few feet more to dig. It would seem absolutely crazy. And I actually lived on the road for 12 years. didn't work. And that's an education. So let's see. So then the point of it was, I forgot my story for a second. Then the point of it was, where am I going? Oh, yes. Then during that time, at the end of that time, which I lived just like a freelancer, just staying mostly with many women, with my mainstay of support as I just journeyed on, always saying, I'm just here for a while. I'm just passing through. And they all try to keep me. And then my wife, current wife, got pregnant. And, oh, yeah, I kept on trying to run because it was so much fun, the life I was living. Mm. And then I had to change diapers and get a job. And so when those things happened, I desperately wanted the same freedom and love and joy that I had when I was on the road. So I began to read voraciously everything I could, from psychology to religion to philosophy to spiritual, everything, until I was able to find, and not just find in my head, but find in my heart and experience the same kind of freedom that I had and beyond what I had that was on the road. So that's where the journey began. It began reading voraciously of what was the best in life. Mm. How did you find peace? How do you find love? How do you find freedom? What's life about? Why are we here? What's the purpose? That kind of voracious, intensive reading. And putting it to the test. Not just reading it and believing it, but trying to experience it, trying it out to see if it's the truth, not just as an idea, but as a resonating experience in the body, heart, and mind.
Sort of actualizing it, if you will.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I know that I kind of went through something similar in terms of, I don't know that I would call it voracious reading per se, but there were certainly books that came my way in my teens and early 20s that I was reading. And that impacted me. And there was a point even then, I guess it was in my arrogance as a 20-year-old, 20-something, I was going through certain personal growth and development programs back then, even into the 30s. But early on, I was asking this question. As I sat in one of these programs, I was asking myself the question of these other people, when are you guys going to get it? And I think that it was maybe 4 or 5 years later that I began to realize that the question wasn't for them. First of all, it was for me. And when I finally understood that the question was for me, I finally got it. Mm-hmm. That it was my choice. I didn't have to go through these programs. It wasn't essential and required. I didn't get a list of prerequisites that I had to take when I came into this world that I know of. There was no curriculum, per se, that was spelled out. This was my choice.
Right.
Now, we've talked a lot about choice on this program versus maybe the concept of destiny, predestination, balancing those two aspects. And we all want those three elements you talk about, the 13 steps to love, freedom, and power. Some of us want more power than others. Some of us perceive freedom as having enough money, currency in our wallets, in our bank accounts, to go out and get the love and the power that we want, and that we perceive that as the power. We perceive the money. The money brings us freedom and power, and subsequently love. And it's like, so we've added a fourth element. So in other words, there's this fourth element, whether you call it money or status or accomplishment. How does that fourth element, if you will, play into this whole business of awakening? How is it something that we need to overcome, get rid of? Some people say you got to get rid of the ego, or you have to quiet the ego. Others say, no, you must make friends with the ego. Where do you come in on this in terms of that fourth element?
The money thing is deceptive just from the level of money. Now, having an abundance of money is certainly possible, desirable, and attainable. But it doesn't come through just going after the money, because the money is fear-based, and it is part of the ego, and there's nothing wrong with the ego if the ego knows its place. But when it tries to run the ship of life totally by itself, which it was never meant to do, it's going to bang its head bad. Even if you get the money, you ain't going to get what you want. And you see all the people that win the lotto and this and that, and a little ways down the road, they don't have nothing. Because the key to abundance is not, it starts with the inner, then it moves to the outer. But if you skip the inner and just go to the outer, you're going to miss the ticket, because there's something generating this whole show. And if you don't know what that is, you're missing the key to the whole ballgame.
Well, I know that there are those who would say there are a lot of folks missing the ball game because, you know, again, when I mentioned earlier about these financial times we're in, that the question was asked when this whole scenario began to unfold, where'd all the money go? Where'd it go? And this person made the comment, and I think rightly so, it didn't just disappear. It didn't evaporate or burn up in a fire somewhere. It's still there. It's just that nobody can see it, you know,
right.
And so the whole aspect of there being more than enough, whether it be money or water or air or all of these other elements that we need or we want to sustain our lives. And there's a difference between needs and wants. There's more. There's always been more than enough.
Absolutely. Always will be.
But yet we are being told the message of scarcity.
Well, that comes from the ego, which is edging God out, which doesn't know its place. And so it's learning a lesson. So it'll move to surrender. Has a function, but its function is not to run the ship. You know, that's all. And the thing, see, because the ego is fear-based, it's afraid to let go of what it knows. Even if what it knows is causing destruction, fear, confusion, because it's familiar.
Yeah.
The ego likes the familiar ground. It wants to be in charge and will do almost anything to maintain its control. Well, that's a losing battle, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse through the eyes of the ego. But if you're willing to let go and have things align to what they belong to and where they come from and let the ego fall into its place, then you have a whole learning experience in the other direction of abundance, wonderfulness, peace, freedom, transcendence. It's just aligning with the law of life. You have to know life, and you have to know the law of life. And the ego has definitely not learned that for the most part, for the most people so far yet.
We're going to talk more about this as well as abundance and acquiring the things that we would like to have in our lives, not just for ourselves, but for others. We're trying to maybe live a more altruistic existence. We ask you to stay with us. I want to let you know that my guest, Michael Robbins, has a website. It's michaelrobbins.me. That's M as in Michael. michaelrobbins.me and the book Awakening, 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with Michael Robbins with michaelrobbins.me and the book Awakening, 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. And
one B in Michael and Robbins, please.
I beg your pardon?
One B in Robbins.
One B in Robbins. Okay, make that clear. One B in Michael Robbins, R-O-B-I-N-S.me, and M as in Michael, as I mentioned before. Now, Michael, let me ask you, As we talk about a lot of different things in relation to this whole process, and some people view this awakening as a process that we're going through, when we take a look at the calendar, and a lot of folks are looking at 2012 and December of that year and the 21st of the 12th month and the Mayan calendar, they're perceiving that as maybe an awakening, if not for some, as utter destruction. I mean, some people are looking very pessimistically at the future, that they don't foresee humanity's surviving whatever it is that they think is coming. And so I'm curious as to this awakening happening now. Is this something that, as far as you're aware from your research and your ravenous readings, is this something that has been recurring for humanity to bring us to higher levels? Or are we kind of coming back to the same spot that we were maybe, I don't know, 100, 500 years ago? We had another awakening then in those times, and we're trying to unlearn the lessons, or not unlearn the lessons of the past, but unlearn, say, we repeating the lessons or the history so that we can get out of those games and move on to other fun stuff.
Well, we're always evolving. We're always learning. 2012 is simply an alignment with the galactic core, which enables us to have more energy, more light, and to align with what runs the show. Now, that's a choice. So it means to that person, whatever filter they're looking through. If they're looking through the filter of fear, they'll experience that. If they're looking through the filter of growth and evolution, they'll experience that. So what it means is individual to everyone. It's a radiant energy of connection with Source that's being put out. And yeah, it is a new time, because more people are awakening to alignment with that energy and with that source. But there are a lot of people that are resisting that. So there's an old world that's going down, and it's not very comfortable to be in that world, and it gets more and more uncomfortable as we progress into the light. And it's also easier and easier to make the transition to a new world. The ego is the world of separation. The true world is the world of connection. We're actually one species. We're actually one being. We're actually all the same being. Yes, we have different bodies. We have different experiences. But without that awareness and experience of our commonality, of our identity, we're still missing the reality of life. And so life is moving in evolutionary awareness and inviting people to come into that, either through a gentle or more for a knock on the head, or an invitation to party and celebrate.
Well, it is something that a lot of people are concerned about. They're generating a lot of energy over it. I mean, television programs and movies are being made to continue that generation, if you will, of that energy and that mindset. And I have this suspicion that what's going to happen on a physical level is akin to Y2K, that there's not going to be a lot of much of an outward, if you will, expression of what they're talking about in that regard. So it'll be very interesting to see where it all unfolds as we move towards not only December 21st of 2012, but as we move through this particular century, this particular time in which we live. And I'm wondering, too, what your observations are on a lot of the, shall we call them, the social structures, the institutions that exist in this day, today, as we speak. And your observations, though I'm not wanting to put the hat of clairvoyant or psychic on you or intuit, but just your observations based upon your research and your readings as to what our future might hold, or what are your hopes and what your hopes and or thoughts are on it.
Well, it would seem to be an old system is going down because, I mean, look at the money system. Money is devaluating. It's becoming, we get deeper and deeper in debt. There's going to become a point where it has no value. And then we're going to, you know, that's going to make a big, some big radical changes in the world. It is possible for things to destruct and become chaotic. But once again, that, you know, in someone who is in the place of truth, in the place of awareness, which all are invited to because that's what everyone is, that's not scary. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That is the stuff that doesn't belong dissolving, just as in nature, things fall off so, you know, so that new growth can come. So it's actually something that's healthy, something that's needed, something that's vibrant, and something that leads to betterment. Now, in the process of that, some of those changes can be very challenging, especially if you're in the outlook of the personal perspective and you don't have the universal or divine perspective, which is always, again, always present, always being offered. So we're in the stages of a great shift, and I really don't know personally exactly what's going to happen, but I'm comfortable and ready for whatever happens, and I feel peaceful about it. I feel good about it, and that kind of feeling will lead me to, you know, increasing enjoyment. I find that life is something that one increasingly enjoys. If that's not going on, if you're not enjoying this moment, and you don't know how to enjoy it consistently, this moment, there's a learning mm-hmm. that needs to take place because that's the function of life. That's what life is supposed to be, is really about. We're meant to enjoy it abundantly.
Has Michael Robbins achieved everything he has set out to achieve in his life, or is there more for him? Does he want to live another 70 years?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just beginning. Oh, there's so much more. I'm like a little baby. Just taking baby steps. But there's one thing I know, and Michael Robbins, third dimensional being, is so focused on keeping that focus. I trust the supreme intelligence that's running the show, which I really am. Not my third dimensional self, mm-hmm. but the one that's life. I identify with that. That's me. That's everybody. That's you. That's everybody I know, although it's been camouflaged in awareness to most people. So Michael Robbins, third dimensional dude, a little kid, just trusts his daddy, which is one with himself. Just trusts that and knows that there's this escalator ride of ever, ever better perfection. And I am delighted to be on that learning curve. I am delighted to be just enjoying learning and holding fast in faith and trust that absolute love, absolute wisdom, absolute power has a magnificent destiny for me and for everyone. That's delightful. That feels really, really good to know that. And that's what I teach. That's what I share. That's what I want to assist people to come into. And it's available for anyone who wants it. All you need is I want. I want more, and I'm open.
And with that being said, who is Michael Robbins?
Michael is a third dimensional, a vehicle that expresses, that is open to the expression of his divine nature, which is the absolute wisdom and intelligence, brilliance of life. If you look at the stars and the galaxies and this body that heals and the miracle of being able to see and walk and in the seasons, this incredible intelligence behind it. I am the furthest contraction of that magnificence as Michael Robbins. But I am on a journey of return to that source, and I'm enjoying every moment of it.
From your perspective, whether it be as Michael Robbins, that third dimensional vehicle, or from that higher self, why does the source require these experiences in, for example, in the vehicle of Michael Robbins, the third dimensional being?
Well, when we were all together in the divine, I mean, there's only that oneness and magnificence. And then the Bible, in its complexity, calls all of that oneness as many, the Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, we were experimenting and created this third dimension and began exploring. It was fascinating to be in this dimension. And we said, we're going to jump and get lost in it, fall into the realm of death, fall into the realm of amnesia, of forgetfulness. And what's the value of that? Well, it's a different kind of experience. How can you really appreciate perfection unless you know imperfection? And so we undertook the journey, and from any third-dimensional perspective, it can't be understood, because there are things which are horrific. There are things that seemingly make no sense. But when we all return to that oneness from which we came, we'll understand the divine plan and the choice we made to fall into this sea of forgetfulness, this realm of separation. And we'll be delighted to have taken the journey and to have expanded our wisdom and love and compassion and wisdom.
I'm not sure it's a paradox, but can perfection create imperfection?
No, it can't. Perfection can only create perfection, but part of that perfection can forget about its perfection and create imperfection or seeming imperfection.
So imperfection is more kind of like Maya in the Indian traditions. It's an illusion.
Yes, it's a dream. It's a, you know, it's like dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a dream, and when you wake up from a dream, it seems so real in the dream, but then you wake up and you say, oh, I was dreaming. So this will be too. We're dreaming an incredible dream, and our awakening is inevitable. It has to be, but it's a matter of time for each individual.
Now, you have 20 years on me, actually 19 years on me. My father has 29 years on me, just turned 80 this year as well. And for some reason, as a kid growing up, even then, I used to think, boy, that's going to be really cool to hit, you know, 70 and 80 and 90 and just still be going out there doing stuff and having fun. And then they would say the real world hit, reality, if you will, and high school and then college and preparing to go spend the next 30, 40 or 50 years working. And that's when my father gave me probably some of the best advice that I've passed on to people, and that is, make sure that you find something that you love to do, because you're going to be doing it for a long time. And I still like what I'm hearing. I'm hearing this more and more from people that, you know, they're quoting, you know, that if you do something you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, what about you? Has it always been for you this way? I mean, since the earliest days of your ravenous intake of knowledge and information and musings, that you have always had this gusto, this zest, excitement for life and living and experiencing?
No. I have hit many stages. There was a point about 2 years ago when I was actually being a couch potato, eating a lot, sleeping a lot, drinking and watching Ultimate Fighting on TV, which is pretty strange for me because I don't like fighting, but I guess it was the passion or something. And then I got an invitation. You see, because what I wanted to talk about, what we're talking about, I didn't have anybody to talk about it with. Mm. Nobody wanted to hear it. Everybody around me was talking a different language in terms of experience, and that didn't interest me, and they weren't interested in what I was interested in, so I was just, you know, and I was meditating, so that's nice. But after a while, just kind of fell into that human sphere of disassociation and, mediocrity and boredom. Just forgot something. And then I got an invitation from, what was his name? It eludes me now. But anyway, an invitation to enter the next top author contest.
Mm-hmm.
I let that sit in my box. Inbox on my computer for a couple of days, and I went, hey, I wrote a book 7 years ago. What do I got to lose?
Yeah.
And with that, one new step, and I encourage people, do something different. Do something you haven't done. You have no idea where it might lead you. And that one step radically changed my life. And then not to say that I haven't forgotten since then or didn't fall into places, because this is a very challenging dimension to live in, the third dimension. It is not easy here.
Mm-hmm.
People that seem to have the keys lose their way, you know. So this is quite a roller coaster ride. This is a very, very, very challenging dimension to be in. So the answer to your question is, no, and I'm still open to the possibility that there may be bumps and there may be things, whatever, but at this point, I am gearing to the trust in the source. I am gearing to use my mind in a powerful way, but what's going to happen to me, I don't know. I haven't got a clue, but I know it's okay,
yeah.
And I trust it's okay, and I'm willing to go through whatever I need to go through.
And yet, those bumps in the road are also part of the journey of life. And,
yeah.
And even though at the moment you're not feeling all that excited about it, it is still part of the process, and
yeah.
we work through those.
And to understand that gives you a different dimension about experiencing that.
Yeah.
And that's part of the learning process, too, to know that when it's happening and when you're being blasted emotionally, mentally, by, you know, some experience, to be able to remember the value and that there's a gift in that experience.
Yeah.
Now, that takes some training.
Yeah.
That takes some dedication. That takes some, you know, practice learning.
Now, people can get a hold of you through your website, which is Michael Robbins with one B, michaelrobbins.me, M as in Michael, michaelrobbins.me. They can, get your book. They can also get in touch with you through your website, not only an email, but you also, it looks as though you also have a phone number that you're making mm-hmm. available to folks. And that's 386-847-7846. That's 386-847-7846. Again, the book is entitled Awakening. It is 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. And Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a great joy to have you on and talk about these things. And hopefully you have been able to incorporate into your family of friends and acquaintances, those who are like-minded as you, who you can talk about these things with.
Do we have a few moments, or are we completely at the end of our thing? Because I want to say one or two words.
Go right ahead.
I want to say, in addition to my book, there's a lot more hats that I wear. I can actually show people experientially who they are at the deepest dimension of themselves. I can also find out where they want to go in life, and bring the subconscious mind, which is the attractor of all circumstances, to find out what is blocking them from going where they want to go and transform that. And many, many, many other gifts. So I'm available for communication, no charge. You can speak with me. And there are lots and lots of opportunities that I can share.
Well, I encourage people to contact you through your website, Michael Robbins with one B, .me. Michael, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure. You're an excellent interviewer.
Thank you very much. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Join us every Saturday at this same time, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Listen to us live on the stream at richarddugan.com and check out our archive pages. Until next Saturday at this time, love to Lal.